You're listening to the Slow Ride Podcast. Bikes, advice, and rumors straight from the source. TheSlowRidePodcast.com and on Twitter at TheSlowRidePod. Enjoy the ride.
Hello and welcome to episode 477 of the Slow Ride Podcast. This is Tim in the city beautiful Orlando, Florida.
Hey, this is Matt in the city snowy Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And this is Spencer in the city beautiful Holyoke, Massachusetts. Where, guys, I don't know if you had the same experience this week as I did, but man, I saw some great racing, and maybe the greatest racing I've seen in my lifetime. I was just super impressed.
Oh, yeah.
I was super on the edge of my seat. It, you know, kind of followed the formula a little bit, but I just couldn't shake the feeling of like, this is huge. This is life changing.
Were there top level athletes involved in the race?
Absolutely. Top to bottom, superstars, all the riders you wanted to be there, they were there, they were all making moves. There was a lot of chopping, it was just good racing. I'm just super pumped on the week of racing, that I watched. Yeah.
Well, it sounds awesome. So what race did you watch, Spencer?
I watched the qualifying, but then I did watch the finale.
The qualifying's the best race. Oh, yeah. Qualifying's always where the best racing is.
Yeah, you know, it's like an amuse-bouche for the racing to come. But the big show, of course, was the showdown between two superstars of the sport of cycling. Crew Jones and Bart Taylor, and I'm talking about Helltrack. I saw Rad in the theaters this week for Rad Day 2024, classic 1986 BMX movie culminating in the throwdown at Helltrack. Just an all-time classic. My second favorite cycling movie of all time after, of course, American Flyers, which this podcast celebrates every American 4th of July.
So,
yeah, it's a good movie.
How was it? You went to the Rad Night on is a 2.5 minute bit to say you went to a movie theater in Western Massachusetts with a bunch of other BMX fools to watch the racing. How many people were there? Was it badass?
The theater was full.
Okay. So done.
Yeah,
thanks for getting the meats and potatoes.
There are a bunch of old dudes who look like they probably used to be cool, you know, lot like me.
Yeah,
a lot of guys in Rad T-shirts, a lot of BMX jerseys. You know, the bike parking extended itself into the theater lobby. People were just leaving their bikes.
It was awesome. I like that.
So sold out.
Yeah, I don't know if it was sold out, but it was pretty full.
So the one in Orlando had. I heard it was like about 75 people. Like it was like three quarters full at in a decent side. It was a Fathom event worldwide to celebrate Rad Day. So thumbs up. And they're going to do it again next year? Is it like just every year now? They're going to do it once?
I don't know. I don't know what the story is with the Fathom events, but it's a real legit like production company that puts on film like events. And so they had this coordinated nationwide. There were theaters all over. I had like, you know, within 20 or 30 miles of here or whatever, there were probably 5 or 6 options.
Yeah, so same here.
If either of you guys didn't make it, man, what a disappointment. You guys have no excuse.
I have excuses probably. I don't remember which day it was, but I have excuses. I'm more of a 88, 89 BMX kind of guy. That's kind of my era.
Well, yeah. I know specifically when it was happening.
Okay.
Because I wanted to go, but I had a friend of the pod, the courteous fellow, was in town from Chicago, so I couldn't make it. Yeah.
Notoriously, but, that guy hates bikes.
Yeah, hates bikes. But yeah, would have been great. But you know, Matt was like, I don't want to go see bikes. I don't like bikes. But it is also funny because on Thursday night when Matt was here, he did say explicitly, can you tell Matt and Spencer, and I quote, it's ridiculous that they don't think that Peak Tim could finish the a lap of the Champs-Élysées because I know Peak Tim. I witnessed Peak Tim. Peak Tim could do that. So, and he may not have said all of that, but
he meant it.
It was a good replacement from not being at Rad. I wish I was at Rad. Spencer, did the results change? Does Crew Jones still win or does Bart Connor beat him?
Bart Taylor. Bart Connor was actually the actor that played Bart Taylor.
Ooh,
it's a tricky one.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but you know, the good guy does win in the end.
I'll let you decide
who the good guy is. Now, Rad, if you haven't seen it for if you've been under a rock since 1986, this movie is quintessential 80s plotline. Like they wrote the script for this movie in 3.5-4 minutes. Like it is nothing.
Yeah, it's a teen movie.
But like just to a T.
But that's 80s, perfect now because it just hits all the spots.
Oh, it does. It does a really good job.
It does everything you
want. But they did such a good job with the camp. And I don't know. The movie holds up. And I got to say, lifelong dream for me to see it in a theater on the big screen. It was incredible. People, of course, were cheering. They were booing the bad guy during the movie. It was a good time, had by all. It was like being in your living room with, you know, 100 of your closest friends all watching your favorite movie. So if they do it again next year or they do it every other year, however often they end up doing it, highly recommend making the time, even if you have a friend in town who hates bikes.
Yeah. Awesome. So great job. I'm happy you were able to go, Spencer, and I'm thrilled to hear that yours was close to, if not, you know, sold out. So
I was looking it up. I was trying to figure out after the fact if there was a show in Orlando. So I'm glad that you you pulled that up because I couldn't find all the, you know, all the links are dead after the event. But I did in my research find an article about it that was talking about, you know, the cast and the crew and all this stuff. And was like, oh, Bart Connor, Olympic champion, played Bart Taylor, the BMX big shot. And I was like, whoa, Olympic champion. That's cool. I didn't know he actually rode bikes. And I was like, wait a second. BMX wasn't an Olympic event then.
Right? Wasn't he gymnastics?
He's an Olympic champion in gymnastics, which is wild.
Yeah.
So if we were going to recast this real quick, Spencer, as the expert, who is the hero Crew Jones in the world of like professional cycling? Like who would you put as Crew Jones? Like the rough up and comer, the real grassroots player?
You know, that's
like,
not so rough. He's just a small town kid, you know, with a big dream. I'm thinking this is a Tom Skuse kind of character.
It's got to be,
you know?
Tom Skuse, right? Yeah, there you go. All right. That's where I was just laying it out there on the silver platter for you. Yeah. So let's get into some of the racing. On Wednesday was E3. It was Friday. The Matthew Van, or Friday, sorry. It was the Matthew Vanderpoel show beating by a minute and a half Wout van Aert and Jasper Stuyven.
Hey, let's give Jasper his love. Jasper got second in the sprint. Wout did not have a sprint. Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I'm just like,
no, I know.
Matthew Vanderpoel won, and that's what matters.
I know. And if Matthew Vanderpoel won and Wout was there, you assume he's in second. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I watched most of it. It was kind of standard Vanderpoel. He went to the front. He went super hard. Wout fell down. He rode away.
Wout falling down is not normal outside of cyclocross, I would say.
No, I mean, that was a little surprising. Just Wout a little hasn't raced a lot, I guess. So maybe just nerves or something. Because obviously he had the form, like he was there physically, but nobody else fell down on that hill.
I did see that just outside of 16th place is Riley Sheehan of America. You may remember him as the star of the Denver Disruptors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome result.
Little guy, other Americans. I have to scroll pretty far to see Sepp Kuss. What's going on there?
Oh, at Cataluna? We're jumping races already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Cataluna. That's why he's not on the E3 result list.
Yeah. I was going to say Jorgensen got fourth or something, didn't he, at E3? So,
yeah, he did.
You didn't have to scroll that far for another top American result. But that, yeah, that's E3. Now we're at Cataluna, where Pogue won, what, four of six stages or something?
I did
completely
see,
insane.
I did see an infographic where it was like his head on all of the jerseys.
Oh my God. I watched more of that than anything this week, because the only cycling streaming service I have anymore is Peacock. So I'm just like, I guess, even though this is maybe the race I want to watch the least, I was watching it. But man, Pogue, I mean, we all know Pogue is good, but he won like four stages. He put 3.5 minutes into Landa in a week, put 5 minutes into Bernal in a week. That's insane. Like, he was just riding away, and then he wins the final stage. I don't know. Another level. Like, I don't know. It's hard to come up with new ways to explain how insane he is when every race he does something completely insane, and then the next one he tops it, and it's like, oh, now I have to find another way to express my complete, like, amazement at how good he is, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, he'll still lose the tour, but cool.
Well, your boy, Moss, Timmy, fifth, good result. 6 minutes back, though. 6 minutes in fifth place in a one-week stage race to a guy that's been on a Grand Tour podium. That's taking it to him.
I mean,
yeah,
Landa,
like,
3.5 down.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's everybody. It's just going to be it's going to be a battle of two people at the tour. We know this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the difference is that Lisa Bike Visma has by far the strongest team over UAE. Because outside of, what, Almeida, who's Pogacar have to help shepherd him through the mountains?
Yeah, that's true. And Almeida's been a little... I would have thought Almeida would have been trying to pick off some of these early stage races. He's been looking a little less than stellar, but...
But I mean, what's going on with Cup? Cess Cup? Cuss? Team America?
I don't know. What's I up? Mean, I guess maybe he's just saving it all to win all three Grand Tours. I think maybe that's the way, as an American podcast, we should be spinning this. Like, who even knows where Cataluna is, right? I mean, come on, right guys? I know where Spain is. He won that race. Where was this?
Season,
I don't know.
For a Grand Tour rider, season doesn't start until the Dauphiné. I don't want to see him until then.
All right. There you go.
Classic early 2000s time. Hide at altitude. Yeah. I don't want to see you. You got to be at least 10 minutes down. Yeah.
They're just training. That's all they're doing.
Just training. Yeah. He's on the Rogue program. Like, he's on the Roglic program. Yeah.
I did do a little bit of a bike race watching this weekend.
Okay. What'd you watch?
I watch Gent Wevelgem. I watched about the last 40K the race. It was cool. I mean, I guess it was fun to watch.
Good. It should be. It shouldn't be
I'm
painful.
Shocked. I expected this to be Tim's segment to just really talk himself
up.
No,
it was just like...
Because you've been a Pedersen fan for a long time.
I was stoked Pedersen won. My favorite team took the win.
Okay.
It was great. I had no doubt in my mind, and maybe this is what led to the lack of excitement, was I had no doubt in my mind in the last 10K that he was going to win, because they had like a minute 20.
No doubt. Wow.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Has anyone ever had no doubt with Vanderpool?
Had doubt in his mind, yeah.
And he's the better sprinter. He's definitely like favored to win that.
Was by far the better sprinter.
Yeah, but like...
He led from the front.
He had to lead it out too.
I had doubt.
Whatever. I was watching it.
Discrediting Mads Pedersen right now. You are doing him a disservice. as an
athlete.
That's
not true. Because I watched the race. You guys didn't.
Yeah.
Like, he played it so well. He had to lead out Matthew Vanderpoel, God's gift to cycling. He had to lead him out in the last several hundred meters of a spring classic. That guy has won every single race under the sun. And
he hasn't won. I don't think he's won
the world championships bands on him. But I will say, your boy Pedersen also has those bands.
Yeah.
And I think he wanted to remind people, in case they forgot, he wasn't a fluke. The year that old Vanderpoel fell apart.
So let me be clear, if you're done, is that Gent Wevelgem, he's never won. Matthew Vanderpoel's never won it. And Mads, like, he looked way more confident. And it was like the exciting part of the race was 20K to go or 30, like when they dropped the dude from FDJ. And then at that point, it was a two-person race. And there was like, and the chase group was never making a concerted effort to bring them back. I guess that's what I was saying. So Spencer, yes, it was a great display of Mads Pedersen reminding everybody, and it was awesome. I was super excited. I fired off some texts about it, like Vanderpoel lost. Vanderpoel was wearing black bibs. It might be the reason why, because when he wore white bibs at E3, he won.
Yeah, he wore them at a Milan San Remo too, and he set it up for his teammate.
He got 10th.
Yeah. Best he could do is set up for his teammate to get 4th today, so... Yep.
But he was what in the break like 107 this says 117K he was in the break of almost half the race.
Yeah,
Vanderpoel was in the break. Je ne sais quoi, just not good.
Not good. Exciting. Wow.
It was just not as exciting.
Wow.
Can you imagine if we could take a time machine back to like 2016 or 17 when we first started doing this, and we'd show peak form Tim this race. He'd be losing his mind with excitement about how exciting it was that the moves were going so far out that we had Vanderpoel there. We're like, he's just a cross racer. Mads Pedersen, he's a first year racer. I mean, like, you'd be all over it. So excited about how fun cycling is now. If this was back then, they would have done nothing until the last 5K.
I am honestly beside myself. I thought Tim would I thought we were going to have to calm him down because he's going to be so excited about how this race went, especially for Mads.
The jersey looks good from multiple angles. It's by far, I mean, the World Championship stripes is still the best, but the kit looked good. And then the Tudor had their the watch team had their Trenton out there looking pretty resplendent. I really like that kit.
He gave it his all.
Yeah, it was.
I got to hand it to Trent, old man at this point. The Peloton on the smaller team. He gave it an honest try to make that move a few times. Yeah. It wasn't gonna happen, but you know what? I was pulling for it to happen.
How about Pippen Jasper Philipsen at the line? So I don't know.
Yeah,
that
Tim, you're a big Jordy fan, right? You know all about him, right? No, I don't know anything about this guy.
I
know nothing about this guy. No, I'm really surprised. I was like trying to do a little research on him, and I was like, no idea. But there's always, that's the best part about the spring classics. There's these guys who have the ride of their life, podium. Yeah. I mean, maybe he'll have another podium, but maybe he'll like sit around the top 20 for the rest of his life. Who knows? You know.
Just like Mads Pedersen, the ride of his life today. You know, little known guy.
You think this was the ride of his life?
Matthew Vanderpoel.
No,
Vanderpoel famously has never won Gent Wevelgem before because he's too busy winning all the other major monuments of cycling and world championships across disciplines. But you are right. He's never won this one before. He only raced it once before and finished in the top 10.
No, Tim, I don't think Jordy won that. He won that last stage, I think, of the tour last year. So he's not a rider I've ever known anything about. But I mean, he pulls off a win now and then. Yeah, he was the guy who surprised on the where you would have lasted a lap, and then he did all the laps and then came first.
Yeah.
What do we know? What do we know about Lawrence Rex on Intermarché Wanty? Comes in 16th place at Gent Wevelgem.
I know nothing.
From his first cycling stats page, it looks like he's 24. He's Belgian. He's got a sick name, Lorenz with a Z on the end. Rex, great cycling name. I could get behind that. Career highlights, let's see. Not a lot to talk about. Ninth in Paris-Roubaix.
He's got some good results this year. Sixth at Umloop. First, he won Le Same or Sime or whatever. A little midweek race.
I'm predicting 16th place. I think we're going to hear about Rex a little more going forward. Maybe not this year, maybe next year. But smart money at the old Ladbrokes is on Lawrence Rex going forward.
I mean, he's got a 3-year contract with him, so that's pretty impressive. So he must be somewhat good. Definitely keep an eye out for him. Awesome. Well, let's get into this week's Prem Lap with our very own correspondent. Of course, I'm talking Lawrence Rex of Intermarché Wanty, 16th place finisher at Gent Wevelgem.
This is Mitch Docker, and you're listening to Life in the Peloton, also the Slow Ride podcast afterwards.
All right, here we are in the Prem Lap. I want to give a quick shout out to all listeners and supporters of the Wide Angle Podium Network. Head over to wideanglepodium.com to find out more about the family of shows on the network. And you can do that when you go over. You can select your membership level, or if you want to do a one-time donation, just head over to wideanglepodium.com.
Maybe you like cyclocross. People talk about cyclocross. Maybe you like mountain bike racing.
Yeah.
Maybe you like gravel racing.
Oh, I love it.
Maybe you like Criterium racing.
I actually do, believe it or not.
Well, we got something for you here at the Wide Angle Podium, then.
Ah, sign me up. I'm ready to donate my hard-earned dollars on a monthly basis to support this kind of independent cycling journalism. Well, it sounds incredible.
We are, just two days ago, the latest issue, the latest edition of Grodio came out with full-on reports of Mid-South and the Valley of the Tears. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to check that out, and that will get you started. But that was going to be one of the things that's going on in the world of cycling, as Bill is out there along with Amanda talking about everything you want in gravel racing as the season starts up. So head over to wideanglepodium.com. You can find out the listing of our shows and continue to support independent cycling media. Yes.
I'm Tommy Wagner, and you're listening to the Slow Ride Podcast.
All right, guys, here we are back in the show. We have an overflowing inbox. But first, little guy, I did post on Instagram a proof of life photo of the Vanagon.
Of Spencer's Vanagon. I just want to note, people, I know everyone expects, I don't know. See, I figured it was maybe like 50-50 people knew, people didn't know. Because everyone, I think, assumes my garage looks like that, Spencer. But I didn't quite think your garage would look that, let's call it, busy. There's a lot going on in there. You're Tim, catching up to me. You're catching up to me.
Tim's like a good photographer in that he always captures your best side, you know?
For sure. Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah. He, of course, arrives.
The house is amazing. The house is amazing. But I could have put an editorial note.
We're in the middle of a renovation, contractors' equipment is in front of the van right now.
Yeah,
so it looks a little boxed in,
mm-hmm. Little bit,
much like Mark Cavendish in a sprint. But
oof, if he could get to
it's
the sprint,
it's gonna squeak through, and it's gonna look resplendent come July.
All right. Oh, just like Cavendish. Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna make a note of that. I'm gonna have my Vanagon going in July too. Let's we'll cheer each other on.
you know, thanks to all the hard work I did when your van again was my van again.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Yeah, all that hard work you did.
I replaced an engine.
You did. That's true.
Yeah.
I'll give you all the right, credit.
So, well, I Spencer, the house looks great. The van again looked awesome.
Big Matt replaced the engine. I stood around and handed him tools.
I showed up and watched you guys for like 2 seconds and then was like, I'm out of here. I'm never foolish enough to own a van again.
Little did you know, we got your hooks in you right then at that moment.
Greetings again from the Seiko kid and concerned Subaru owner.
I feel like we may have done the Subaru world a disservice last week.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if we did. I don't think so.
DiGiorno, and thanks for another great pod. This being my third email, I'm quietly hoping to achieve the coveted friend of pod status. Fingers crossed. As a quick refresher, I was the lucky listener whose double Seiko Cannondale Pain Cave unexpectedly launched the great Pain Cave collage of 23 and 24.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
While listening to the latest pod this morning, it was struck with a twinge of worry when Spencer shared the apparently well-known head gasket issue for Subaru. Proudly, count me among the 40% of listeners who own a Subaru. However, I had no idea of this plague when I purchased my Subaru exactly 1 year ago.
They keep it quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't really put this one out there. Approaching my 50s within the next year or two, please feel free to confidently throw down the midlife crisis card as I am 1 year into owning my 2017 WRX STI. And only a year in, I have been fortunate not to have run into any issues thus far. But know that immediately after sending off this email, I'll be rushing out to the garage to dig out my trouble light. That's generally accepted term, right? Pop in the hood and scan in the head for any leaks. Why didn't the dealer share this valuable info with me in the first place? I'm sure that question can be easily answered. I'll be sure to keep you updated on when my Subi does indeed fall into the ever-increasing statistic. Once again, love listening to you guys, and thanks for yet another great episode. Jeremy, and Jeremy, you are a friend of the pod. Thanks for including your photo of your Subi. Little guy will make sure to put it on Instagram.
Making a note.
I do want to report back.
What is it?
I do want to report back.
Yeah.
From last week when I did go into the Subaru dealer and I was texting both of you
live as
it happens. And this is the text thread that it went.
Wow. All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Guys.
On the edge of my seat.
I just got a notice, needs immediate attention. The engine is leaking excessive oil from multiple locations. The recommended service is a cam carrier reseal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to cost $3,100 to execute.
Beautiful.
And then, little guy, you just write back, wowza, this is the dealer? I'd definitely check some independent shops.
Good advice, I think.
It was good advice, and I did check independence. It seems to be pretty much the going rate.
Yeah.
But then when I talked to the service tech and looked it up online, it's really not a leak. It's just a deep sweat. So I think I'm good for another 30, 40,000 miles.
Hey, I've had a deep sweat when I've been on the trainer. It's okay. Yeah, it's totally fine.
So I think I'm good. So you guys got me worried for a reason, a natural reason. And for a good reason. Stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd be better off with maybe a couple Cannondales decked out in the Seiko colors. Much more reliable transportation.
Even with those,
if I remember correctly, Spinergies on one of them. Maybe less prone to sudden failure. Maybe not.
Wow. There should be a chart graphing Spinergy wheels against Subaru engines.
Yeah, that's a graph I want to see. Yeah, that'd be great.
I love the WRX as a midlife crisis car.
It's a sweet looking car.
little guy has already gotten his in the form of a Vanagon and a weird early 90s Mercedes. I've gotten mine in the John Cooper Works Mini, and Tim's.
I'm getting a key van.
Behind. Oh yeah, key van. That's going to be your midlife crisis van. Okay.
Well,
that's a good plan. I would say both mine don't count as midlife crisis. More like they're going to give me an emotional crisis as they
that's fair.
Wreak havoc that's on fair. my time and sanity.
All right, let's get this email show on the road. Spencer, I think this one is for you.
Oh.
Hey, guys, listening to the pod today and your talk of Decathlon San Francisco. This photo was taken in December 2017 at the Decathlon store in the Financial District. A quick Google search says Decathlon closed all two of their U.S. locations in 2022. And I remember being geeked out to check out the store and see the spike. Maybe I'll see you at the gateway amongst the segways someday. Love the pod. Keep up the great work. Matt from Lake Elmo. And it is a Decathlon AG2R bike. I will say this is that I have heard that they're going to open back up in San Francisco. So like they're doing it for a second time in San Francisco. So we'll see if it happens. But
yeah,
great looking bike. Time was a sponsor of the team then.
It's a classic French business move, right? Like, hey, we tried this attack and it didn't work. Let's just try it again. Like, let's do the exact same thing again. Like, is Volkler the CEO of Decathlon? Like, because it sure seems like it.
They only open stores with the winds at their back. Like, Volkler, we got training only with the tailwind.
I'm sure it'll do great this time.
This is the time to do it. And definitely San Francisco, up and coming city right now.
It's good to get in on the ground floor before rents get really high and before the market is saturated, things like that.
Did you see, we got an email segueing into San Francisco. Christine sent us an email, multi-time emailer. Apparently cycling isn't the only sport with silly expensive clothing. Check out this wind shirt for runners from a San Francisco company called Goldwyn. Wow. Little guy, this is right up your alley. It can be yours for a mere $550. Matt, time to check the thrift store for some old slickers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Enjoying the pod as always. This thing,
short
it's
sleeve.
Like a rain.
Yeah.
Raincoat.
But it's like, it's baggy and it's short sleeve, right? If I'm remembering correctly, it makes no sense. It's great. It's the perfect piece of clothing. There's no time that will ever be right to wear. I don't even know if it can tell if it's like totally waterproof or it's great.
Okay, all of a sudden, guys, my view on San Francisco and opening a business there has turned around. Decathlon is onto something. It is the tech kind of mecca in the U.S., and there's a bunch of young college graduates who just got big jobs in tech who have gotten these huge paychecks, and they're stupid. They're still very gullible children, and you can sell them running clothes for $500, and you can probably sell them a Decathlon bike for thousands of dollars because they just have expendable income, and all of a sudden... Maybe it is a good idea. Maybe this is the tour that Volkler stays in yellow for multiple weeks.
I think so. I mean,
it might be. Now,
this, I'd never seen this company before. Do you guys, this is some expensive. They're trying to out Rafa. Like, they're like, they took.
Well, it's running. They're trying to out Tracksmith.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about running other than it hurts my ankle. So, this is expensive. So, how can this stuff be so expensive? They don't even have chamois.
Well, for running, you don't have to buy anything else. So how do you feel good about yourself and brag to all your friends?
You got to have those big shoes, those Hoka shoes or whatever. What brand is that? It's Hoka? Hookah?
Uh-huh.
Can we all agree? We're not a running podcast. Those are the ugliest shoes in the world. This is where Tim tells me that's what he runs in. I could see the look on his face.
No, they are ugly shoes.
They're hideous.
Like, without a doubt.
I'm sure we're going to get someone writing in, and like maybe, and I understand, like, maybe they're the shoes that work for you, because like, just like, you could have a weird saddle and I could be like, that's an ugly saddle. And you're like, yeah, well, I can ride.
Works for me. Yeah.
I can beat you riding this saddle and ride longer. And that's great. Do it. But man, those shoes are popular just in the general public now. I can't take it. Every time I see them, I'm like, it looks like a candy bar exploded on someone's feet. I hate them. There you go.
Well, the color runs are popular a little bit.
It's a tough look. I'm with you. I'm not the biggest fan aesthetically. I do think On Cloud is a pretty good looking shoe. They're kind of comfortable, but
Euro
I
mean, snob.
But I don't wear them.
You probably ride Campy.
It's owned by Federer, so you know it's good. Some of the running brands, I don't know. I know I'm the resident runner on the spot, but there's some cool brands out there. I've never heard of this brand either. And this little guy, you'll post it on the Instagram, right? Maybe. This thing is pretty hideous looking.
Who can tell?
But Christine, thank you so much for being a dedicated listener to the podcast. Let's keep this show on the road as we go to the next email. It's actually a collective of three emails that come to us, all in related to Todd and his rock lobster question.
Really?
Shocked at how many people. So all for you, Todd, but we're going to start deciphering. So first comes to us from Greg out of Massachusetts. It's not a rock. It's a rock lobster, which great shout out.
We should.
B-52s.
Yeah. No, we missed that one.
Honestly, the three of you should be ashamed of yourselves. For all of the hullabaloo around accent colors and pedals, y'all had the audacity to suggest anything besides single speed for the group set on the Rock Lobster build. Not only is the correct answer to the question, but it is also an additional area of a precious accent color bits. Speaking of which, black and gold to match with the Rock Lobster logo on the down tube is the correct accent color combo. And on an unrelated note, I have a Chris King headset in black and gold for sale. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Greg. So okay. Todd, if you want Greg's email, just hook us up with an email. But I will say this, and Greg, you failed to point this out, so I'll do it for you, is I did say gold is the correct accent color here to the Rock Lobster, because we did all agree that it needs to be seafoam green. Yeah.
So Greg, just do a little soul searching and realize that when you're agreeing with Tim, you know, what that might mean. Just think long and hard, you know?
You always want to agree with me. I'll take you to the promised land, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
And next email to us, coming to us about the Rock Lobster, is from Joe, a guy named Joe. The lobster answer is gold and axis. This picture is of my single speed one by lobster made for me for single speed World Cross Championships 2023. By using the Axis wireless group set and an eccentric bottom bracket, it's quite the transformer. With just a bolt-on cable-free derailleur and two rear wheel choices, I can race it on weekends and pedal it up and down the Santa Cruz Mountains during the week. By the way, her name is Clementine. Rock on, y'all. A guy named Joe. P.S. I go on vacation for 1 week and come back to no more slow ride Zwifting.
Yeah, Joe, it all fell apart after you didn't show up that one time. We were just all a little leaderless. But we'll get it back on track this week. Don't worry. Tim, little guy, this is the second email referring to single speeds. Did we overlook something here? Or
yes.
Is the single speed just kind of... I feel like it's... I don't know how to put it. It's unspoken. It's you're going to get another Rock Lobster. Like, I don't want to put the pressure on him, but like, he's going to get the one and then he's going to get another. And it can certainly be the single speed. And I think we were all kind of collectively, maybe subconsciously, you know, just knowing that and being like, well, you know, let's discuss this one. And then obviously the single speed, you know, that's coming. So
I think we kind of failed that we didn't bring up single speed, because We yet got another email.
Oh.
Please relay to Todd regarding the Rock Lobster. This one comes to us from Brian. Slow Riders, this message is specifically for Todd regarding his color scheme for his upcoming Rock Lobster. First, welcome to the club.
Yep.
Second, great call on going with the classic seafoam on the frame color. Now, you're going to get a lot of opinions on that secondary coloring of the bike. Some might even come from veteran podcasters. But as a former Iowan to a current Iowan, I think we're on the same page when it comes to opinions of these hot dish scarfing, passive aggressive, too many lakes having, can't pronounce bag or bagel correctly neighbors to the north.
Bagel.
I really hope Tim mispronounced both bag and bagel in the previous sentence, but I digress. I didn't. I know how to pronounce bagel. The correct answer is black plus an accent color. I have attached photos for reference. Little guy would likely post these to the Slow Ride Instagram account since it's technically not photos of a pain cave. I went with black and silver, with black as the fill color on the logo and lobster badge, and silver as the letters and outlines. By using black, you can pretty much get away with any additional accent color and make it look great, as well as make for an easier match for a headset.
True.
You could even go full classic RL and do Rock Lobster and do the seafoam black yellow combo to match the complimentary pair of socks that Paul will likely toss in with your beautiful new frame. This frame, oh, then continues, best of luck on the weight, Todd. This frame is a single speed as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the world's longest stem, but it's a great looking bike. Love it.
Always is. Yeah.
So good. Well, okay. Rock Lobsters, like, have they only gotten more popular? I'm shocked at how many people are emailing about Rock Lobsters.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. I haven't actually seen one in the wild for a while, but it turns out our listeners are Rock Lobster owning Subaru drivers, so.
I mean, it makes sense if you think about it.
It does.
I mean,
pretty much nails our demo.
As much as we try to play to the Moots Audi crowd, we're a Rock Lobster Subaru kind of podcast, you know?
Hey, little guy, I sent you the picture, post it. I also bought the book. Then this email comes to, and of course this is about the book Beyond Measure. So little guy didn't read the book.
It like just a threat.
Yeah. No. So 16 was sacred to the Egyptians as well as when the Nile flooded to 16 cubits, yeah. It meant a year off prosperity. 13 meant a year of famine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ale, Ricardo Rico. Thanks, Stuart. Oh, that man, great shout out to Ricardo Rico. But first off, little guy, are you not going to read the book? Like, what's going on here?
I read the book. I read that book. What are you talking about?
Okay, just checking. Maybe it's more the threats of just posting stuff to Instagram. Who knows what's even going on anymore.
I saw that email. I didn't actually see a photo in there. So if you sent a photo, and I couldn't open it from the neighbor's Wi-Fi or something. I don't know. Is it you with the book? Is it the book at a display? I don't know what it is, but it's a good book.
People are
getting a nice look
behind the curtain, breaking the fourth wall a little bit about why maybe some technical things don't always get accomplished. The Slow Ride Podcast.
Is there a picture on that email? We got a bunch of other emails with videos and pictures this week, and I opened them and looked at them. I did not see anything on this Beyond Me.
I didn't see a picture. I didn't see a picture. Right, but maybe there's one previously that you haven't posted. Your new European correspondent. Gentlemen, I'm applying for the European correspondent position. I very much enjoy listening to your rambling podcasts, and I believe a Euro correspondent would make it even better. For the following reasons, I would be an excellent candidate. 1, I live in Europe. 2, cycling is life. 3, I travel to as many races as possible and pre-ride the courses. And 4, I am adept at finding the best viewing options to the races, and I'm currently writing this camped out beneath the Kemmelberg. See Exhibit A. And then there's some photos included. I know where teams like Alpecin hide out under the Kemmelberg as well. And I'm originally from the Mitten State. Thank you for your consideration. Jay Barry. Here's the question, gentlemen. I can think of 2 states that look like mittens.
Two.
Two. Okay. Please tell us the one I we think don't think.
So Michigan is the one that most people consider, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Maine does kind of look like a mitten.
Maine. Hold on, I'm pulling up Maine.
Maine.
I know you're pulling up.
I mean, it looks like a mitten.
Sure.
A pretty messed up mitten.
I don't think anybody's ever referred to it as the Mitten State.
No, I don't think so, but I just...
Where exactly is Portland, Maine in the Mitten? Kind of on the thumb?
It's... No, it'd be like in the ball of your... Of your...
It'd be like kind of similar to
where...
Almost.
Where Michigan... Yeah.
See, Michigan, we know where Kalamazoo is. So we know where Lansing is. We know where all these small towns are. Because so, the mitten. I don't know where anything in Maine is because no one's ever told me anything about Maine referring to a mitten.
So Jay Barry sends some photos, little guy. The photos that sent in, sitting in a field, drinking some Belgian beer, looking resplendent. It looks like a sprinter van. You got Alpecin across the way.
Yeah.
And then also has a nice photoshopped... Bianchi's single speed mountain bike, just kind of throwing in the bass, the green one, just kind of in there with like, I mean, just well done. Like, I think a solid candidate, and there's lots of other videos and pictures. I haven't downloaded them. I'm on a work computer. Well, actually I'm not, I'm on my own computer, but therefore I don't want to download it and get like a virus. So why don't you try that out for me, little guy? And then we'll see if Jay Barry is trying to sabotage us to get on the podcast.
Yeah. No, I downloaded one of them earlier to my phone, and I think everything's okay. I haven't checked my bank accounts or anything, but
yeah. Oh, how do you now have TikTok? So, anyways, Jay Barry, thank you so much for sending these. I can't wait to take a look at them and hear back from you some more, little guy.
Yeah, you're in the running for sure. The correspondent.
He meets all the criteria.
Yeah.
Is in Europe.
They're doing better than
goes to
it's
buy
a good
crisis.
Photo.
You know, it's pretty good.
It's a good photo of Vanderpool. It's a good photo of Vanderpool with the full black bibs. Coming up the Kemmelberg. Looking good. He's got a Pizza Hut selfie with Remco at a bus stop. Overall,
is the kind of content.
Tapping into the content. Because you know, if any of us saw a Remco ad, the first thing we would do is our picture.
Are you can we rely on you to transition these to the Instagram or because I started archiving them. Is this you?
I'm making a note.
He is writing it down. I can see him doing it.
I mean, one thing, Tim, I would say you've been pretty prolific on the Instagram lately, which is great, but there's definitely
I
see you post things and it's doing good and I think, well, I don't want to step on it, and then
I don't want to keep that momentum going or anything.
By the time I come back, then Tim's back on it again. He's got something else going and I'm like, well, just get out of the way, you know? He's got a hot hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll keep working, team effort.
Okay.
You and I just running the show over there. we got another email, the St. Louis Trash. This email comes to us from Matt. It is I, Matt Golson, a.k.a. Gat Molson, your St. Louis correspondent and proud owner of a Klein Quantum race thanks to your shrewd negotiation tips last year. I am filing a report on the recent tour of St. Louis Karen Delicious Criterium. Sadly, I was not able to toe the line this year due to my new crit squad, the St. Louis Trash, being unable to secure primary sponsorship for this season. However, my friend Rob Landis, who races for Team Mac, entered his first race in 10 years after health issues kept him from racing and podiumed in both the 50 plus A and B race. Shout out to Marion University, dominated, going 1, 3, 4, and 5 in the women's team. It was a beautiful day in a beautiful city and no one was mugged or had their bike stolen. Signing out from the city beautiful St. Louis, Missouri, Matt and I photographed a cute dog walking back to my car and included a picture of Rob in the zone with a full pain face. St. Louis, no matter how many good pictures you show me. Friend of the pod, by the way, Ryan Fisher was there. It was like, what am I supposed to do in St. Louis? It was a nice sunny day. And I said City Museum. Then sent some photos from the City Museum, and it looked packed, little guy. Absolutely packed.
I do love the City Museum. Yeah. It should be. It's the greatest place in the city for sure.
Well, there's not much. Yeah. It's only, I can't wait till 4th of July.
You know, did I tell you guys about the Zillow listing for the condo above the City Museum? Like the guy who started it.
I think he maybe
passed away and he did. It was for sale.
Yeah.
It was so weird and so cool as you'd expect. It was super cool. Like, and it wasn't all that expensive. Like I briefly flirted with the idea of I could probably live in St. Louis. And then I was like, no. I don't know if it's still like, I'm sure the photos are somewhere online, but it's worth looking up.
Yeah. I bet it would be great. It would be worth it. If you're going to live in St. Louis, you got to live.
It's the only way it would happen. Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, we are through the inbox email bag, but I did want to just reach out to a couple of things I had on my own internal. Is Outside Magazine. I know we give it quite a bit of flack, and unfortunately, most of it well-deserved. But this week, I was absolutely stoked to see the March-April subscriber issue was a full like cover and like 9-page spread of the Richmond Cycling Corps, which I know we've given shout-outs before.
Yeah.
Out of Richmond, Virginia. This is the crew that we got to know in passing because Frank Cundiff, our host at the Richmond Cycling World Championships, told us all about Richmond Cycling Corps and some other folks. But getting full cover treatment and like 9-page multi-thousand word write-up, it was like the full spread, and it is absolutely awesome to talk about this crew. So if anybody has a subscription to Outside Magazine, it's definitely worth the read, or go on their website and cash in your free article for the month to read it. But the work that the Richmond Cycling Corps is doing, it's something that I'm absolutely stoked on, but it's such an awesome organization. And when you see groups that like use the power of bikes for good, it gets me excited.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Cool. That's great.
And then little guy, I think that your nightcap for the week, basically what's grinding your gears in professional cycling is seeing all of these top level professional cyclists standing on the side of the road waiting for a mechanic that doesn't have an impact driver to do a through axle wheel change.
Well, I can't believe that we're this many years to doing away with quick releases. The simplest, most perfect solution to taking a wheel on and off. We had to create another system that had to involve a battery, because it's cycling, and we're all about the environment. But what really got me thinking about this today was I pulled up the little like cycling news ticker just to see what was going on with Ghent while I was making pancakes this morning. And the first thing I read is that Stuyven had got a flat at the wrong moment, and then he was getting a wheel change, and they just were like, oh, nope, they do not have like an impact driver. He just has an Allen key out. He's done. Like, his race is over. You know? And the fact that we had a really great system for wheel changes where a big guy could get a flat and get back into the race, and now it's like you've got the guys at the side of the road still with the wheels, but if every one of them doesn't have a Milwaukee impact driver in his hand, it's game over. Like, what's the point? It's just...
it's impressive. You know, we're it's still new. In terms of cycling, it's still new. We're sorting out the standards. We're sorting out, you know, what size bit you need on the end of your driver. We're that's all gonna settle in a year or two, and everything will be really, really good and smooth for a season or two, and you're gonna be like, wow, that's amazing. And then we'll come out with a new system, and we'll do away with through axle altogether, and everything will go out the window and be chaotic again. So
that's probably true.
Makes sense to me.
I mean, it's the 3XL is a perfect solution if you're not going to get a flat during a race and have a team car behind you trying to do a fast wheel
charge.
It's a perfect solution for just riding and having your wheel on, but it doesn't, I don't know. There's a reason everyone had crew cases in pro racing for like 70 years.
I mean, look, Formula One, they can change all four tires with their impact drivers in under 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, usually under 3 seconds. So I don't know what cycling's problem is. I think the mechanics need to get it together.
That's a good point, Spencer.
You know, maybe more training. They probably need to be paid more. Maybe they should unionize, get it together, get a little,
Well, I mean, or maybe they could have like just clean working environments, mm-hmm. like where they're prepared, ready to receive the bike rather than like leaning out of a car, rather than having a cyclist throwing the bike at them, saying, fix this, and then yelling. I'm sure that
the cyclist was right.
It's weird, Tim. Have you worked in a bike shop before? That's sounds weird.
Yeah. Well, let's call that one a day, gentlemen. It's been fun as always to get to hang out with both of you on the Slow Ride Podcast. Can't wait to do it again next week. Make sure you email us at theslowridepodcast@gmail.com where we can give you all types of advice and help give other opportunities. We did have a suggestion from Johnny Sunt the last time I saw him where we can do a Slow Ride Podcast classified corner, such as where some folks can send in where like what they're trying to sell, and then we will pick the one of the week to try to sell it. We're trying to work through what the fees on that are because we're so good at what we do. But make sure that you consider that. So if you want to volunteer as one of the first ones, email us at theslowridepodcast@gmail.com where we will help you move your bespoke item. I mean, it's got to pass our refined taste. We're not just posting up there a carbon full bike. Like it's got to be something mwah, good.
I would like to purchase Johnny Sun's thumb that I believe was removed during the Athens Twilight Crit all those years ago. So if that's for sale, I think I'll put in a bid.
And so make sure you email us at theslowridepodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at theslowridepod. And find us on the World Wide Web at wideanglepodium.com to find out how you can become a member and supporter of the Wide Angle Podium Network. And with that, we'd like to thank our European correspondent, Jay Barry, and all of our correspondents around the globe. And see you next week. This is Tim in the city of beautiful Orlando, Florida.
This is Matt in the city snowy Minneapolis.
And this is Spencer in the city beautiful Holyoke, Massachusetts, reminding you to always wave at all your fellow cyclists that you see out on the road.
The Slow Ride Podcast. Bikes, advice, and rumors straight from the source. TheSlowRidePodcast.com and on Twitter at TheSlowRidePod.
There's an elegance to bike racing. For all its technology and engineering, it's a simple question of physics. How do you move a body through space as quickly and efficiently as possible? When the rider and the machine work as one, it's almost as if the solid world has melted away, and all that remains is the spirit, the pure, raw, and unfiltered soul of sport. Life is measured in many units, miles, kilometers, kilos, and pounds. But we measure it one corner at a time. We've entered the golden age of crit racing, the most exciting spectator event in sport, where all of human drama plays out before us on our city streets. On this show, we bring you the news of the day and take you inside the personalities of the teams and riders and right up to the gates of the premier events in the world. Welcome to Criterium Nation.